Welcome to another episode of North American Deer Talk, where the fusion of facts and opinions become the education and entertainment for all. This is your host, Josh Newton, and we have another great show for you today. Hi folks, welcome back to the show. This is Josh Newton, your host. It is August 20th, and we're getting back in the swing of things here. I've taken some time off. I actually got married over the end of July, and did a little bit of honeymooning with my new wife Lisa. So we're excited to start that venture in our life, and we're also excited to get back into doing the show on a regular basis. So today our topic is going to cover CWD. It seems like it's the topic of the day. It's actually been the topic of the day for most of us deer farmers for almost the past 15 years. We've been dealing with it in the north, and with the latest finding in Texas. It's just been kind of pushed more towards the forefront. There's just an incredible atrocity that's going on down there with the Texas Parks and Wildlife Division, basically mandating the slaughter of close to 1,000 animals. That was the last number I got. I heard anywhere numbers from 800 to 1,400 animals that are going to be killed, all in the sake of quote-unquote science. So we're going to get into that. But before we do, we want to go ahead and take care of our sponsors, because they help make North American Deer Talk possible. So our first sponsor of the day is Applied Reproductive Concepts, or ARC. Now, ARC is providing cervid livestock owners reproductive and herd health services for more than 15 years. Reproductive services include artificial insemination, embryo transfer, semen collections and processing, all of which are performed in a state-of-the-art mobile surgery and laboratory. Now, this custom lab permits clean and consistent conditions, which are critical for producing excellent results. ARC is owned and operated by Dr. Rachel Weiss, and let me tell you, she is a professional of the highest degree. Dr. Weiss has years of experience working in the field of wildlife research and reproduction of cervid livestock and other exotic species. ARC's success is based on a few key elements: education, customer service, and communication. Whether your operation consists of 10 head or 2,000, the ARC team has the tools and the knowledge to help you reach your goals. Remember, ARC for all your reproductive service needs. The second sponsor of our show is going to be Cervid Solutions, and I want to talk to you specifically about the Cervid Solutions Membership Program, or CSM. Now, basically what that is, it's a membership program that we've set up, and you get a lot of educational content and resources at your disposal to take care of all your herd health needs. And that's really what Cervid Solutions is. It's a herd health management program. The really key tenets of that program are our vaccines that we've developed, and they're part of our vaccine service package. We have two of those. One is NUVAC2, and that covers basically all your pneumonia, your bacterial pneumonia strains, and your Fusobacterium necrophorum and Truparella, which are commonly found in the lungs, but also some people may know them as foot rot or lumpy jaw or trench mouth or something along those lines. The second vaccine is our EcoVac product. And what the EcoVac product is it's a digestive type vaccine. We've taken some of the isolates that we've cultured here, specifically E. coli and Clostridia type A, and we've grouped those into a vaccine. And that vaccine is incredibly effective against those bacteria that typically are found in the stomach and the intestines, which cause diarrhea or scours in animals. So there's five specific E. coli strains, all of which were isolated from whitetails specifically, and then a Clostridia type A isolate as well. So you have good broad spectrum coverage there for your Clostridia and your E. coli. So that's another great option. The membership program also entitles you to a discount on your product. So when you're ordering from us, you're going to get a 5% discount on the vaccines, which, you know, for some farms is a pretty substantial amount of savings, and typically ends up paying for the cost of the membership program within the first order, let alone the first year. So take advantage of that. Go over to servedsolutions.com. Check that out. Obviously, you're probably there right now because you're listening to the podcast. So just hop over while you're listening. Check out the membership sign up page. It's real easy to sign up. The cost of the program is there's two different payment options. One's $5.99 a month, or you can do just a one-time flat fee of $60. So really excellent value for your money. So with that said, we'll go ahead and we'll get into the main topic of our show today. It's going to be CWD. Now I could probably talk about this for hours and hours, but we're going to try to simplify it as much as we can. I'm going to go through some of the press releases that have been out. I'll be doing some reading from those, and we'll try to touch on a few of those points that we've been seeing in those press releases, and I'll give you my thoughts and opinions about them, and I will try to preface some of that some of the things that I'm saying are just my opinions, because frankly I'm quite fed up with this nonsense that's been going on, and it's been going on too long. So we're actually we have an animal here that's been quarantined. They're asking us to potentially euthanize it, and it's getting old. You know, we haven't been caught up in too many of these trace out and trace forwards, but I guess it's a risk that we've been willing to take for the past, you know, X amount of years that we've been on the program. I think we started our program in 2002, which is for many of the northern states, especially the you know, the guys in Pennsylvania and obviously, you know, Ohio, Indiana, Wisconsin, Minnesota, et cetera, they've all started in that, you know, 01 to 03 period. So many of us have, you know, anywhere from 10 to 15 years on the CWD program with really no ability to test out. So it's frankly quite frustrating to keep testing these animals. You know, I can understand, you know, I guess having to test an animal when it dies, you know, so be it. But, you know, if it has CWD, you know, there's not, it's not really a big deal. I mean, what is it that, that makes this disease so, impactful on our herds? I mean, obviously nobody wants to have any type of disease on their farm. And we go to great lengths to make sure that these animals are well cared for. You know, we go to extremes such as, you know, bottle feeding our doe fawns to keep them calm and manageable, so we can potentially be able to treat if an animal gets sick. I mean, we have biosecurity in place. You know, when people come to our farm, you know, they're asked to do a you know, a foot bath, so they're not potentially tracking anything in from anywhere else. So I mean, there's great measures. I mean, we've gone to the extent of basically putting almost a full perimeter fence up. We have raceways in between each one of our pens, so our animals don't fight. They get fed, you know, once or twice a day. They have clean, fresh spring water. I mean, I can go on and on to the measures that we've really all taken to protect our animals and keep them as healthy as possible, because, you know, in the end we have a vested stake in this. Nobody else does. I mean, you have to remember, it's not the government that's put money into your farm. This is your hard-earned dollars that you've earned over, you know, maybe the course of your lifetime that you've put into this, and there's a lot of hours and blood, sweat, and tears that we've all put into this to make our operations, you know, a successful business, and, you know, help support our local economy. So I just I wanted to throw that out there quick. I wanted to also give a quick shout out. I got an email this morning from the ACA, which is the American Servite Alliance, and that's basically a group of associations, and I don't know, there's 30 some of them now, that all have a seat at the table. They all have council members, and they help put the good word out, really, that CWD is not what it's all cracked up to be by our government. So they sent out an email this morning, and it has all the places where they've had articles published, and I just wanted to give them a round of applause and some kudos for taking the time to go ahead and write these great articles. I know there's many contributors over there, Charlie Seal being one of them. I know Lori Seal as well has written a few, Eric Mulhan. So predominantly Charlie seems to be the guy over there. And Charlie, good job with taking care of those press releases and combating these really crazy loons that are writing all this misinformation and just almost blatant lies half the time about really what goes on in our industry and CWD specifically. So great job, guys. Keep it up. If anybody needs to get a hold of them, I'll put a link to the ACA in the show notes. There it is. 39 associations strong. So that's a really large portion of our country there, and even up into Canada. So it's really a North American deal that they've coalesced around their program. So anyway, just wanted to thank them for the work they do. And again, you can check that out. I'll put a link to their website, the American Servant Alliance website, to get some more information on what they are and what they do. So with that said, we want to discuss CWD. So what is CWD? Well, chronic wasting disease, or CWD, is a disease that's found in deer, elk, and moose. Now, CWD belongs in the family of diseases known as transmissible spongiform encephalitis, or TSEs, which are basically prion diseases. Now, within this family of diseases, there are three predominant variants that affect animals. One is scrapies, which has been recognized in sheep for more than 200 years. The second is a bovine spongiform encephalopathy, which is in cattle. And then chronic wasting disease is in cervus. Now, if you listen to all those names, just right off the bat, my first take on that, you have scrapies. Okay, scrapies, that doesn't sound too bad. And then you have bovine spongiform encephalopathy, which is, you know, even tough to say. And then you have chronic wasting disease. Now, that sounds to me like somebody, when they came up with this name, maybe had an agenda. You know, chronic wasting disease, that just sounds bad. So anyway, CWD, it's in that family, and there's never been a single confirmed deer to have died from CWD, at least in the state of Pennsylvania here. I don't know if that holds true quite across the country. I'd have to read up on that, but certainly in the state of Pennsylvania, there has never been a single confirmed case of CWD having killed an animal. Now, CWD's origins are really unknown, but it was first recognized in 1967 as a clinical syndrome of an unknown source among research mule deer at a wildlife research facility in Colorado. Again, that's a government research facility, I stress that, a government research facility in the state of Colorado. They found it in a mule deer. Now, CWD's transmission, the mode of transmission is not really fully understood, but the evidence supports the possibility that the disease may spread direct animal-to-animal contact or the result of indirect exposure to the prions, which are basically the little proteins, the bad little guys that get in the body, in the environment, which could be plants or soil, etc. Now, the National Wildlife and Health Institution has demonstrated that prions, these are the infectious deformed proteins that cause chronic wasting disease, or CWD, can be taken up by plants such as alfalfa, corn, and even tomatoes. Now, the research further demonstrated that the stems and leaves from the tainted plants were infectious when injected into laboratory studies. So that's something to consider. You know, we have all these biosecurity measures in place, and that we've taken on our own, and then we have our testing program, which really monitors all the movements of animals. Obviously, anything that's moved on or off our farms needs certified health papers. So it's really interesting that potentially CWD could be brought in from let's just say alfalfa from some of the western states that are, you know, they have just huge alfalfa fields, or corn even. We feed our deer some corn and we feed our deer some alfalfa. So those are possibly two vectors that were potentially bringing CWD in. So, I mean, how do we stop that? Do we just not feed the animals anymore? I mean, how much hay is trucked across this country? How much corn? I mean, I think we grew like 120 million bushels of corn last year in the United States. I mean, it's just unbelievable. So, also the this is a quote from Mike Miller, which is a PhD and doctor of veterinary medicine at the Colorado Division of Wildlife Research in Fort Collins. Hunter-killed carcasses are a possible source for spreading chronic wasting disease. Again, I'll read that. Hunter-killed carcasses are a possible source for spreading chronic wasting disease. So all these finger pointing that's going on, saying, oh, it's the captive servant industry or the deer ranchers and deer farmers that are spreading CWD, that is just not the case. We are the only ones that monitor our animals with 100% testing on our breeding farms. Any animal that dies over the age of 12 months is tested for CWD. We're the only ones that do that. So, a little bit more information on chronic wasting disease. Now, Dr. Mike Miller, a senior wildlife veterinarian for the Colorado Division of Parks and Wildlife, and perhaps the world's foremost expert on CWD, declared that there are no real population effects to the deer herd from CWD. And I quote, "We have not seen any clear indication of dramatic declines in deer or elk numbers on a large geographic scale as a result of chronic wasting disease." Now, this is the guy that's considered the world's foremost expert on chronic wasting disease, Dr. Mike Miller, and he's at the epicenter, Colorado, where CWD was first found, 40-plus years ago. I'll read you his quote again. "We have not seen any clear indication of dramatic declines in deer or elk numbers on a large geographic scale as a result of chronic wasting disease." End quote. Wow. I mean, if that doesn't sum it up for you, I don't know what else does. Now, CWD has been detected in wild or farm deer and elk in the following states: Colorado, Illinois, Iowa, Kansas, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, New Mexico, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, North Dakota, Texas, Utah, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, and then the two provinces in Canada, Alberta and Saskatchewan. That's 23 different states and provinces. The World Health Organization has reviewed available scientific information and concluded that there is no current evidence that chronic wasting disease, or CWD, can be transmitted to humans. That's from the Chronic Wasting Disease Alliance. Again, there is no evidence that chronic wasting disease can be transmitted to humans. So chronic wasting disease monitoring levels within the state of Pennsylvania. This is as of 2014, and these are just some facts that we've pulled together here. The farmed herd size, or the farmed captive animals within the state of Pennsylvania, is approximately 23,000 animals. The farmed animals that have been tested for CWD is approximately 23,000 animals. That is 100% of all age-eligible deaths on farms that are tested for CWD. Now, the PA wild herd size, this is an estimate from the Game Commission's site, is that their wild herd size is 1,079,998 animals. Their total number of tested animals for CWD is 50,000. Now, the PGC, or the Pennsylvania Game Commission, tests less than, again, this is less than 0.5% of the wild herd annually. That's not half the herd, that's half of 1%. Now, 7 positive wild locations have been tested in Pennsylvania. Now, PGT, in addition to that, PGC testing 0.5% annually and discovering those seven animals in the wild deer in Bedford and Blair counties, which is what they call DMA2 or Disease Management Area 2. Now, if we were suggesting a 0.2%, that's 0.2% prevalence rate multiplied by the approximate 35,057 deer in that area, we know that statistically approximately 80 CWD positives are still running around at large in DMA2. This is the importance of the wildlife agencies being able to test their animals just like we do. Now, if they don't want to do that, why should we? You have a fence, you have an animal on one side of the fence, you have an animal on the other side of the fence. The one that the deer farmer or deer rancher owns dies. It's over the age of 12 months, so let's just say it's a yearling buck or a yearling doe. We have to test it. Animal on the other side of the fence dies, does not need to be tested. Now, why is that? Why the scrutiny against us? So we'll talk a bit more about the CWD in Pennsylvania. Now, Pennsylvania Game Commission does not possess the same absolute management techniques as farmed deer when attempting to manage the infection rate of CWD in the wild in the white-tailed deer herd. There is no way to know how many other deer, other than the seven that have tested positive in the wild population in Pennsylvania, are still roaming around the landscape. Now, Trey Bollinger, the regional director of the Canadian, Terry Bollinger, the regional director of the Canadian Wildlife Health Cooperative in Saskatoon, warns of the spread of CWD. The problem is not going away. It's well established in the wild population, so it's going to continue to introduce into game ranches due to the contact with wildlife reservoirs. Basically, what he's saying there is the animals in the wild have CWD. They're walking around, they're not testing 100%, and they're basically the ones that are infecting all the animals. Interesting. Now, the Pennsylvania Deer Farmers Association contributes to human health research. The Pennsylvania Deer Farmers, in cooperation with the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture, became the first state in the country to facilitate a solution-driven CW research testing on live animals prior to depopulation. Dr. Nicholas Haley, with Kansas State University's College of Veterinary Medicine, spearheaded this effort. And I quote, "The CWD research, which the Pennsylvania deer farmers supported, may potentially yield benefits not only for farmed and wild deer, but perhaps also for human diseases, including Alzheimer's and Parkinson's." So I just want to give a quick round of applause or a pat on the back to the Pennsylvania Deer Farmers Association, and I sit on that board as the treasurer, so I've been in the trenches with these guys and certainly appreciate the commitment that they've put forth. And it's pretty awesome to know that, you know, private citizens are the ones that are supporting this research. Now, we'll jump back and we'll do a little history lesson in how really the CWD program came to be, and it's really it's going to be a little frustrating. So just bear with me on this. I hope we can get through it without getting too angry. Now, the USDA started the CWD program, I believe, and this is just a ballpark. It'd be late 1990s, early 2000s. And many of us that were in the captive servitude industry at that time, raising deer, we signed on to this program. And basically what the program did was it allowed us to monitor these animals. When they died, we would test them and make sure that they were they didn't have CWD. Now, when the program first came out, there was somewhere around $16 million that were allocated from the federal government to initiate this program and start it. And this is typical of most government programs like this. They start a program and with I guess good intentions, and they fund the program fully. Well, after the course of a few years, the funding was cut dramatically. Now, I'm not really sure why the funding was cut dramatically, but my guess is it's like any other government program. Fund it, stop funding it, pass the bill along to the people that are in the program, make them continue to do it, which is just, it's incredible. So basically, funding was cut from 16 million down to about 3 or so. It might even been cut a little less than that, but anyway, it's in that range. So you have a program that was implemented for, you know, the course of X amount of years, and it was funded to the tune of $16 million nationally, and then they cut that funding, you know, almost by almost 100%. I mean, it's down to like $3 million. I mean, that's like 80% cut, something like that. And we're forced to pick up the tab. So all these tests that the government has mandated on us, like testing our animals for CWD, which they paid for because they wanted them tested, are now those bills are now put on us. So there's states out there, like in the state of Pennsylvania, it cost me $40 to do the test, and then there's a disposal fee of somewhere around $15 or $20 to dispose of the head. I believe they use an incinerator at the Penn State facility where I take my animals to be sampled. So that's pretty cheap in the scheme of things, because I've heard guys paying up over $100 a sample to get these tested. Now, if I'm running a business, and let's just say that I have a hunting ranch and I'm testing animals on my hunting ranch, and I harvest somewhere around 100 adult animals in a year, and on a big piece of property, you know, that's 1,000 acres. That's certainly a possibility to keep, you know, populations within reasonable limits. So, you know, 100 animals at $100 a piece, you know, it's an extra $10,000. Well, that's a lot of money to somebody. I mean, that could be a feed bill for a few months. That could be, you know, the seed that they're going to put into their food plots, or the fertilizer that they're going to put on their land, or, you know, maybe, you know, a down payment on a new truck that they need for their ranch, or an RTV. And I can go on and on about how we spend our money through local businesses and our local economies that support the hunting industry. But it's just a travesty that the government will come up with a program, fund it, pull the funding, and then kind of stick us with what's left. So just it's ridiculous. That's kind of how the CWD program started, and frankly, it frustrates me every time I have to talk about it. So anyway, we'll get into a couple quick other facts about CWD. So CWD was found in 1967 in the Colorado Research Facility. In 1978, CWD was officially classified as a transmissible spongiform encephalopathy, or a TSE. And again, that goes back into the you know, the same classification as the sheep and goats, which has the you know, the scrapies and the bovine spongiform encephalopathy. So in 1979, CWD was first recognized in mule deer and black-tailed deer at the Wyoming Fish and Game's Wildlife Research Facility. And then it was diagnosed in a captive elk for the first time. So these are government agencies that are testing these animals at such a rate. So let's see. In 2000, CWD was found in Saskatchewan mule deer, marking the first time that the disease was found in the province's wild cervid. 2002 was a big year. I know the Department of Natural Resources in Wisconsin had detected CWD in a wild deer, in a wild white-tailed deer, for the first time. Now, I'll say that Wisconsin is really a great model to look at, and show really what CWD is all about. So basically, I'll just give you the footnotes version. In 2002, when they found the first case in wild cervids, they took a very radical approach, and they spent something to the tune of $30 million. That's million with an M. Basically eradicating as many deer as they could in this quote-unquote disease management area, which is in the southwestern part of Wisconsin, I believe. And they just went in there, and they basically had open season on piles and piles of healthy deer, just killing them, trying to stop the spread of this you know, dangerous CWD, which is a bunch of crap. But they what they did is they killed all these animals, and it's funny because today they still test animals that have CWD in that same disease management area. And they test even more than they ever have. I think there's been 70 some cases that they've found. The population in that area today is 40% higher than the day they started killing all those animals. Think about that. So let's just say there was 10,000 deer in there, in that disease management area. They went in there and they killed as many as they could. I'm talking like open season, year-round hunting, like just kill them all, kill them all, kill them all. And today, that number would be in the 18,000 range, up from 10,000. That just shows the, number one, the ability for the white-tailed deer to thrive and reproduce. But it also shows that CWD is not this scary boogeyman that that people have made it out to be. So there's not a concern, at least from sane, rational-minded people, that CWD is a problem. This is a 100% political disease. Now that that's all out of the way, let's go ahead and take a deep breath and then tell you that there's a much easier solution that will save the lives of hundreds, if not thousands, of white-tailed deer, elk, and moose species here in North America. And that is that there is a live test. Now, what is a live test? A live test is where we have a live, viable animal that may be in question of having CWD. And we're able to, instead of killing that animal and doing the standard test where they test the brain stem and the lymph nodes of the animal, which can only be done if the animal's dead, we're able to do that while the animal's alive. What they do is they take what they call a rectal biopsy, and they just get a small bit of tissue from inside the animal, and they use that instead of having to kill the animal. Now, what's the problem with this test? Well, it's not approved by the government. So because there's a bureaucracy in place that will not technically approve this test, which is in all the research that I've seen is as accurate as the current test, the anti-mortem test, or excuse me, the mortem test that we have, in other words, on the dead animals, it's every bit as reliable. So why are we not using that test instead of killing all these animals? If that doesn't make your blood boil, I don't know what will. So just remember, deer lives matter. Anytime you're doing any type of posting on social media, all you do is, you know, on your Facebook or Instagram or whatever kind of media we're doing, just punch the pound sign or hashtag and then write, Dear Lives Matter. And what that does is it creates a link in your post, and then people can click on that link, and it'll take them to a page with all the other posts that have Dear Lives Matter in there. So if there's, and I've seen some powerful pictures, you know, with people with dead animal. And it'll take you right to that. So just remember, if you're doing that, to put that in, it's hashtag or a pound sign, Dear Lives Matter. So anytime somebody is talking to you about CWD and how dangerous it is, and that, you know, these animals should die if they're in suspect, just mention to them that there's a live test, and that they could be saving these animals' lives. I think all lives are precious. It's really a shame that we need to continue to go down this road. I mean, it's 2015, for goodness sake. Do we really need to slaughter all these animals for no reason because there's not a quote-unquote approved live test? It's ridiculous. So with all that being said, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. I need to decompress. I talking about CWD just frustrates me to no end. Again, we've been dealing with this here in Pennsylvania for, you know, the past 15 years. So this isn't anything new, but it's a very frustrating topic for many of us because it's so so ingrained into our businesses, and it's frustrating, overly frustrating. So as far as everybody in Texas, I know you guys are working through quite a bit of the bureaucracy that the Texas Park and Wildlife and Division of Agriculture Department, whoever you're regulated down there by, as far as that goes. I'm pretty sure it's the Parks and Wildlife Service. Just hang in there. Let's go ahead and you know, keep doing whatever you guys got to do to bring this to the forefront. I know that there's been, you know, tons and tons of stuff on social media, and you know, I've seen literally you know, deer piled up in the back of a pickup truck or stacked in a line, you know, with blood all over and their heads cut off, and you know, that's stuff that everybody needs to see, because this is absolutely ridiculous, you know, what they're doing. I mean, to take 1,000 animals out of the population, but specifically only from areas that are you know, high fence, is absolutely ridiculous. It's flat out tyranny by the government, and they have absolutely no right to do so. So I hope you guys hang in there. You know, we're certainly thinking about you guys down there, and you know, we're hanging tough up here too. So anyway, we'll wrap up the show, and as always, you know, if you want to find out more about CWD, you can just do a quick search on it. I do have a really nice brochure that the Pennsylvania Deer Farmers Association has put together. That's where I got a lot of my information that we talked about today. So if you want to get a copy of that and maybe put it in your local taxidermist shop, or, you know, at some custom butchering place, or anything like that. You want to have some copies at the ranch for your hunters when they come in, or whatever. I'd be more than happy to send you a PDF file on that, and you can get those printed out. It's a great resource, really accurate information. I know Glenn Dice had put a ton of time into it, and I've done some proofing over that as well, just to make sure everything's in line, and it's just a great document. So, you know, if anybody wants a copy of that, just shoot me an email. That's jnewton, N-E-W-T-O-N, at servidsolutions.com. So with that, we'll wrap up, and as always, stay tuned for another episode of North American Deer Talk.